Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back, everyone. You're joined here with me, Bertie Gilbert. If you don't know who I am, if you watched the last episode and you enjoyed it, but you still want a refresh on who I am, I'm Bertie Gilbert. I make short films and stuff predominantly online. We've got lovely Dean Dobbs.
Hello, I'm Dean Dobbs. If you don't know who I am, or you would just like to hear it again anyway, I am a YouTuber. I guess a comedian as well. I make people laugh, so I suppose that does make me count as a comedian. Apparently, I don't know.
Weird.
But yeah, I do a channel called Jack and Dean with my comedy partner, Jack Howard. Yeah, and I like the ocean.
So do I.
Which is what we're talking about today, aren't
we? If you can tell already, we're going to be talking about the ocean, the sea, the vast expanse of blue nothingness. And we also have a guest coming up in a little bit. We have Dodie. If you don't know who Dodie is, she is a singer, songwriter, YouTuber, megastar. We're going to be asking her about the sea for some reason, and we'll see what she thinks. She probably likes it.
I think she likes the sea.
I think she probably does.
Yeah, maybe. Dodie is also known as Doddleoddle on YouTube. I hope I said that right. Doddleoddle.
That's right.
She's an incredibly talented musician, talks a lot about mental health, writes it into her songs and whatnot.
She feels many emotions.
She does, and she's also incredible at writing Instagram captions.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, mini essays.
Yeah, absolutely. Sagas.
Sagas, there you go.
Yeah. So we'll be talking to her in a little bit. Well, what have I been doing? I haven't talked about this, and it was a little bit ago, but I went to Cannes, Cannes Film Festival.
What's that?
It is a film festival in Cannes.
You could have given me a good joke, but there you go. You stared me dead in the
eyes. I did. I gave you the best one.
But yeah, was it good?
It was interesting, yeah. I wasn't there sort of... you know, the dream as someone who wants to make movies is to go there with a film or be involved in a film and all that stuff and be showered with praise.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
And champagne. Don't hold your breath.
It ain't happening. I've seen rocks of bleed.
but it was interesting, and sort of being from not being involved with the project, but seeing it from the outside and seeing just how much opulence and glamour and like sports cars. And I'm just like, you have to look really hard to like find the films and find like find it as like a celebration of film.
I'm going to ask you a really, really vacuous question, but who was the most famous person you saw from a distance?
Okay, so
there's got to be somebody, right?
Yeah. I was in the live studio audience for a talk show.
Right.
And the guest on that episode was Helen Mirren.
Whoa.
So I got to like sit in it, but it wasn't like, it's like some GMTV thing. It was very like, it wasn't like, so tell us, Helen, what's your process as an actress? No, it was, Helen, do you like gardening? Close your eyes and feel these flowers. Can you tell what flowers they are?
Is that what actually happened?
Yeah, she got them all right.
They made Helen Mirren close her eyes and feel some flowers.
Yeah, mate, and I was there. The video's online.
what if they like pulled out like a glass bowl of like cold baked beans?
What flower was that, Helen? Oh! That's some Dick and Dom shit.
Yeah, like Dick and Dom. She's like so offended. She's like, I'm Helen Mirren. Did she win any Academy Awards?
Probably.
I'm probably an Academy Award winner.
I don't remember. Yeah. I've been doing this for so long. Yeah, and like, the video's online. You can see me in the audience, and I keep trying to clock the camera. I keep trying to like...
staring at you like it's The Office.
Yes, I do.
You're really bad at that. You do that a lot.
I love it. If there's a camera nearby,
You try and make every moment awkward.
Yes, I do.
All right, Bertie, it's time to get in the sea. Splishy splash, we're in a bath.
Oh, Dean.
Stop it. Stop it, you're getting bubbles on me.
You're getting bubbles on me, stop.
Stop.
No, let's stop fucking around now.
All right, let's take it seriously.
Dean.
Yes.
You have a fear of flying.
I do.
Don't you? And this does pertain to the sea.
Yes, it does.
Because you've imagined various scenarios. Every time you're on a plane, what would happen if it crashed or whatever?
I call them death fantasies.
Death fantasies, yes. Yeah. Yeah, and one of the main ones you've talked to me about is what if you crashed over water, over the sea? Would you like to take me through sort of what you've been picturing?
Yeah, sure. So I was, like I say, I was always scared of flying. And so obviously my worrying brain would basically just picture the sort of Final Destination scene in my head, except I was there.
Yes.
And I'd always think about, like, if my friend was sat next to me, well, that'd be horrible to see their face in that moment where we know we're going to plummet 30,000 feet.
Horrific.
Yeah, absolutely horrific. But then as I kept thinking about it, I went, well, what if I survived? What if I was that special? What if it turns out I was actually the main character in life and I wasn't ready to die in season four yet?
Yeah.
But when I realised that what's left for me if I do survive the accident, it's the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be left in the ocean.
Oh.
And I had this picture of me maybe like with the chair that I was sat on.
You're still, seatbelt still.
Yeah, I was still like, I imagined I thought I fell out of the plane still attached to my
like
seat.
Like some Looney Tunes.
Yeah, like some Looney Tunes thing.
Yeah.
But then as we hit the ocean, I'm just left there in this cold, wet abyss. And like, I sat there and went, that sounds already quite scary because it's the ocean. Like, we're not supposed to be there as a species. We just aren't. We had to learn to swim. We aren't just naturally good at it.
Yeah.
I know we have to learn to walk, but like that's way easier. And also walking doesn't mean there's like a lion around or something.
It's true. And in an evolutionary sense, we walked out and then we were trying to go back in. What are we doing?
Yeah, exactly. But my point, yeah, we evolved out of the ocean.
Yeah, they're going back in.
Yeah. But like, I think like it's just a terrifying circumstance. Yeah. And I was like, so no matter what in that scenario, I'm given something bad, arguably very unique, but then being dropped into the ocean and essentially being at the mercy of whatever the fuck is flying, well, like, not flying, swimming around, flying, who knows? We've only explored 5% of it, so who knows? Maybe things do fly.
You could argue if you're underwater, they are sort of all flying, aren't they?
Yeah, but it's in the...
Maybe Aquaman could.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so Dean, what do you do? I mean, like, there are so many ugly booglies.
I don't know. Most things just want to eat me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not safe in that
Maybe
situation.
Maybe Aquaman would save you? Or would he eat you?
Which Aquaman are we talking about? Are we talking about comic book Aquaman or are we talking about Jason Momoa?
We're
Aquaman?
Talking about Jason Momoa Aquaman.
Jason Momoa's
the only,
Aquaman.
My Aquaman.
My Aquaman too, yeah. He's my Aquaman. Yeah. Hashtag my, my Aquaman.
My Aquaman, yeah. I mean, that's like, I mean, Aquaman's a weird. I mean, we're getting off topic. I mean, this is what you signed up for. But yeah, Aquaman is a film.
Yeah, that's happening, isn't it?
That's happening.
That's a bloody film that's happening.
Yeah, I'm a bit sort of... because I remember in Justice League, the little bit we got in Atlantis, they had to, like, create, like, chat bubbles every time they talked to each other.
I don't remember it, honestly.
Are they going to be in bubbles the whole movie?
I hope so.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, well, like, the thing about Aquaman is... He was like one of my favorites. One, because as much as I am terrified of the ocean, I love it. I feel like sometimes fear comes with respect as well.
No,
like,
absolutely.
And I was always like, Aquaman, he hangs in the ocean. I remember seeing an image of Aquaman where he's like, he has two great white sharks.
It's amazing.
And they're like biting on chain things. And he's basically right, one foot each on a great white shark while surfing across the ocean. I went, I want to see that.
Yeah.
If anything needs to be committed to film,
it's that
image.
100%.
And so I was always like sort of into Aquaman because I heard people didn't really like him because his powers are sort of they're very circumstantial, you know.
You have to be near the water.
He needs to be near the water to
control
really...
the fish.
But like, so I was like pretty excited when they said they were going to make an Aquaman movie.
Yeah, me too.
And then I was interested when they announced Jason Momoa was going to be Aquaman. I was like, I can see why you didn't go for like sort of blonde hair, orange suit. Sort of. You went for something a little less.
Well, it's the whole conversation of like gritty versus comic accurate or whatever. Because I know in the comics there is a version of him with really long hair and he's quite rugged or whatever.
Yeah.
But the one everyone knows and the one everyone makes fun of, like you said, is the blonde haired one. And a part of me, having now experienced a bit of Aquaman in Justice League, I kind of would like the
cheesy one.
Because he goes into the bar, He's a bit boozy.
Well, it looks like a perfume advert, doesn't it?
Yeah, and he says, "My man."
Yeah, it looks like a cool. What is it? A Coors Light is about to appear. he's having a swig. Yeah, he has a swig of some whiskey, doesn't he?
And the wave hits. Throws it
in
the water.
It's in like slow mo.
And he's just like walking around going, "My man," and "All right," and it's like.
No, literally. That iconic line. That's in Rick and Morty.
Mate, there's the bit in Justice League, my favourite moment in the whole film. Superman's back. Superman died. The most famous superhero of all time. Audiences should be like, oh, he's back. Oh, my God. But the most they could muster up when he comes back on screen and helps them out is Aquaman, someone who doesn't know him. The best line they can come up with is, "All right." That's what he says with Superman. No, literally.
No, he doesn't.
Mate, I remember in the cinema, I was like... Is that it? Is really? He just goes, "All right!" And does that not sum up like that whole movie, that whole like universe? Yeah,
it's like the character, like they had to write a character getting excited,
yeah,
to make the audience get excited,
yeah. Like,
and my
like,
man,
they don't know each other. Like, they haven't even had a conversation. Get Bruce Wayne; he knows him a little bit. Bruce Wayne could say something.
Yeah,
that's good to see you.
Credit where credit is due. There was one joke in Justice League that did make me laugh.
Tell me,
it's when Aquaman sees Batman in his costume for the first time. He goes, "Oh, you're dressed as a bat." I dig it.
Yeah, like, no, I'm into that.
Yeah, that bit really made me laugh. Yeah, I was all right.
Yeah.
What we could have had.
No, absolutely. That's a whole other conversation. But yeah, that movie is an experience.
I'm all open for an Aquaman movie.
Me too.
I feel like, you know.
And who's the director again?
The director is James Wan, who did The Conjuring.
See, that's intriguing.
He did the original Saw.
For an Aquaman movie, sure.
Yeah, James Wan's actually legitimately brilliant.
No, he is.
Have you seen The Conjuring?
Yes.
Yes, you have. Yeah, we watched. Yeah. Like some of the filmmaking in that is like, it's so good. It's like, it's in Conjuring 2.
In Enfield.
Like, yeah, in Enfield, yeah. Which is really weird. like some of the camera work is like, I sat there and went, the audience that goes to this movie does not deserve this craftsmanship.
Yeah.
It's like, he's putting in so much effort.
No,
so
totally.
I am, honestly, I don't think James Wan will phone it in.
I'm interested. I'm intrigued. Yeah.
I guess like Saw is like a big franchise and so is Conjuring, but I don't think James Wan's ever like...
This is a big tentpole thing.
Yeah, for him, I think.
Absolutely.
I think, yeah. But no, I mean, I'm open
it's
to
just,
it.
The whole vibe of that version of Aquaman just reeks of like early 2000s, like The Matrix has just come out, so let's put slap a leather jacket on this, put like brooding.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
I just hope the movie at least engages with how silly the idea is.
Definitely.
A man who only is any good if he's near fish.
Yes.
I want is him to, I don't know. I don't know. This is the thing. I don't know how the fish are going to be anywhere.
Can they talk? Do they talk? He talks to them.
He talks to fish. I don't know if the fishes.
Didn't they change it for the new one where he doesn't actually talk to fishes? He controls the water, and it just so happens that quite often the fish are in the water.
Oh, that sucks.
So they just incidentally are sort of...
Oh, no, just make him talk to the fish.
Yeah, man, just embrace it. Embrace it. I think maybe they will.
You're not supposed to try and make him cool. You're just supposed to deal with it. Like, that's Aquaman's whole thing.
Yeah, no,
no, I want, like, I want scenes where we display how, like, fantastical his power is, but also like how horrifying his power can be.
Yeah.
It's like fantastical. If he has a love interest, I don't know what Aquaman's deal is.
Sure,
like,
I've no
I know
idea.
He talked to a woman in Justice League. I don't know if it's his wife or girlfriend.
He doesn't want to be he doesn't want to be the king, or is he the king prince?
I don't know.
No idea. No idea.
But I want a scene where like he's doing amazing. Like the fish are like show that the fish actually know him. Like
have him dance, mate.
Yeah, do it. I don't know. Like get some really good animators who love that sort of stuff.
Get Will Smith fish from Shark Tale.
But then I also want him to control fleets of octopuses who jump on bad guys' faces and
eat
them.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I'd be like, show me both the light and the dark of Aquaman.
They need to do a Shark Tale crossover.
They
need to get Will Smith fish.
But yeah, I got chills. But not the good chills.
What you felt is the tide turning.
Yeah, I felt dread. That was a horrible idea.
No, get Will Smith fish, Renée Zellweger fish. He'll go, wait, I know some people. We need help, Aquaman. I know some people. Jack Black shark. Get him over here. Robert De Niro shark, come on. Scorsese puffer fish, come on. Do you want me to keep naming characters from Shark Tale?
No, please. I really don't like how many you know.
That is confirmed. The Shark Tale cinematic universe is part of the DCEU.
Fantastic.
That's confirmed now. That's an exclusive you've got here. Telling the truth. On the subject of cinematic universes, Dean Dobbs. I went to the cinema the other day.
Yeah.
I paid money to see a film called Show Dogs.
What?
Show Dogs.
Show Dogs?
Yes, it was about an undercover cop dog who has to infiltrate a show dog show a show dog show, because I think they're trying to sell dogs. I don't really remember what the plot was, but I saw it, I paid money, it was the right laugh.
Who'd you see it with? Did you see it by yourself?
No, I saw it with my friend Ewan.
Right.
We hadn't been to the cinema together before, and we were like, what can we see? And we were like, no, this is perfect, we'll see Show Dogs. So we saw Show Dogs, and something that really stood out to me was, do you remember Beverly Hills Chihuahua? Hello?
Yes.
Do you remember? You didn't answer quick enough. Do you remember? Yes.
Yes, yes. I do.
So they did a few of those. I remember when I was a kid, I watched them. And the Beverly Hills Chihuahua has a cameo in Show Dogs, right?
And right.
So that means they are establishing a dogs, talking dogs cinematic universe. And I'm ready
for it. The DCU.
The DCU. The DCPU.
The DCP.
I'm here for it. I'm ready for it. Yeah, what do you think?
I mean,
Marley? Should get the ghost Marley, of Marley?
Yeah, Marley could be in there. Yeah. The ghost of Marley.
My man.
My man.
All right.
What are the famous dogs?
Lassie. Get Lassie.
Lassie would be iconic.
I mean, get Kez. It's not a dog, but.
Kez?
Get Kez.
What? Wait, what? What? Craig David Bowe selects his Kestrel.
No, that's based on the film Kez. Which is a bird in a film.
Right, listen, right, guys, I'm so sorry who's listening to this podcast, but this is not part of the show, but like, you explain this bit to me every time like it makes sense and it really upsets me.
I'm not referencing Bo Selector, I'm referencing the film that inspired Bo Selector, Kez, which is a famous bird. We'll get the bird in the cinematic universe.
A dog.
There's pigeons in Show Dogs. There's many animals that talk in Show Dogs. It's the way they...
Oh, right. Sorry, I didn't realise. I thought it was only specialising in dogs.
In cars, there's planes.
Okay.
You don't see... You kicking up a fuss about that.
The cast of Madagascar. Get them in.
Get them in, yeah.
The Chris Rock zebra.
Chris Rock zebra. And then, yeah, Will Smith fish again. But yeah, I just thought I'd share that with you because genuinely I think that's what they're doing. It feels like they might be...
Do you think we're at that time?
Trying to set up a dog cinematic universe.
We're at that point in history.
A dog cinematic universe. What other bloody cinematic universes are they going to do?
I mean, I will say Marvel kind of coining this whole cinematic universe thing is really fun because things like this happen.
Yeah, man. All the other people trying to do it.
We've digressed, Bay.
Yes, we have. Let's get back in the sea.
Yeah, we'll get back in the sea. Yeah, let's get our bloody feet wet.
Do you remember when Bear Grylls was on a raft?
I do remember when Bear Grylls was on a raft, Bertie.
And what did he do on that raft?
Well, basically, he was on this raft, he looked around and he realised, you know, he was in a pretty terrible situation and he needed some fresh water.
He did.
But fortunately, the ocean's made of bloody salt water and that's not good.
No.
And he realised, lucky him, that he had a funnel and a plastic tube. And he thought, I'll give myself an enema.
Yes, he did, didn't he?
So the logic is apparently that... So it's such a sight to behold. You can find it on YouTube and all that.
No, I need to watch it.
He sits flat on his back. just gets this funnel and pours seawater down it into this thing and shoves this... An enema is basically where you clean your asshole, basically. You clean the insides, you make it nice and shiny and clean. I have no idea why you do it. I just don't know. But
no one's gonna
the
see
idea
it.
Is that apparently... I don't know the biology over this. There's going to be some biology student who's like laughing their ass off at me right now. But apparently, taking this water into your asshole somehow cleans it. Like, it acts like a reverse filter.
Whoa.
Yeah, so like he can absorb the sort of nutrients and stuff from the water, what he needs, without all the extra shit.
Does he drink it?
I don't know, man. In the clip, he barely touches on it.
Does he drink it?
That's why it seems it's lunacy. Like, I'm sat there going, it's Bear Grylls. He's got a tube up his ass, and he's going, oh. Like, he's going, oh, God.
And, there's a camera crew.
Yeah, there's a camera crew. He's out, stranded in the middle of the ocean.
He believes in the fantasy, doesn't he? He throws himself right in.
And all I ever want is, like, a giant cruise ship to show up out of nowhere.
What the fuck are you doing, man?
What are you doing?
We're right by, you can see land.
Mommy, what's that man doing?
You can see Southend on sea.
He's having a drink, son. He's having a little drink.
There's no fresh water out here.
He's like, he shouts to someone on the boat. He goes, throw me a can of beer. Like, pours it down, gives him. He goes, I'll get drunk faster this way.
he drinks everything up. He eats.
I think he pulls it out at parties. He goes, that's all I know. Quick way of getting his wasted quickly.
Do you know what I think he brings to parties?
What?
Do you remember when there was that snake?
Oh no!
He was in the middle of the desert and there was a snake And he needed a piss?
No, he's thirsty.
He was thirsty.
Because it's the desert. You're going to die of dehydration.
Exactly. He was thirsty. So he found a snake. He skinned it, pissed in it, and then sort of carried it around as his little drink.
Like a flask.
Like a Capri Sun.
That poor animal.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a little Capri Sun.
Do you reckon he, like, you know, if you invite Bear Grylls to a party and you say, bring your own drinks, BYOD, he's like, hey, oh my God, he's brought the fucking piss snake
he's
again.
Pulled the piss. It's like attached to his belt. He's out on the side.
He's got his keys. He's got his piss snake.
He's one of those people who's got the keys on like a chain.
Oh my God. Like, do you know what I mean? And he's got his little piss snake on a chain. And he's just walking around towards some.
Do you want to try? This is good stuff. This is.
No, it's not.
No, get away from me, you little piss snake.
We've got like
me.
A tap. Do you want to like fill it with anything else? No, I'm good.
Poor animal.
Yeah.
Do you think you ever consider for a second that that's where it would end up?
That's the thing, like. What right does Bear Grylls have? In that situation, he's not actually survived. He's fine. Again, camera crew. Why that poor snake to be desecrated? I don't use that word lightly, Dean. Desecrated that snake.
I actually think it sounds a bit nice, Bertie.
And it looked like a big, like, it was like inflated, right?
Yeah.
Or did it look sort of like a froob?
It looked more like a froob, honestly.
It looked more like a froob.
Yeah, it looked more like a froob.
But
like,
Bear Grylls, man.
He's an absolute lunatic.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh, we've got Dodie Clark.
It me!
Yeah. She's here. Have you been here the whole time?
Yeah.
We're really sorry about the snake piss conversation. That went on for a little bit too long.
We won't talk about snakes or piss for the next bit.
Good.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Dodie, what do you think of the sea?
Quite a big question, Bertie.
The ocean is quite big.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like there are two sides to me. I think there's a part that... I don't know. I love the ocean. I think it's magnificent and wonderful. But I don't think I could be in it, like, in the middle of it, where it's, like, very deep for more than, like, 10 minutes without
freaking out. No, because you'd drown, Dodie.
No, I would swim. But no, I mean, like, I don't like creepy crawlies. I don't like things being on me or, like, touching my legs or, like, I don't know, just things on my body where I can't see them. And you tend to get, like, little fish, like, nibbling your toes, don't you?
You do, but that's really like a salon treatment, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you can pay for that.
You can pay for that.
You don't need to get stranded in the ocean.
Why would anyone do that? I don't want that at all.
Or the bacteria or some shit.
Dodie, where the fuck have you been the last 6 months? I've been stranded in the Pacific Ocean. You go, but look at my toes. They look amazing.
Your feet are clean.
Your legs are like shimmering.
You've got baby's feet.
Yeah, you've got baby's feet. They're really small.
Yeah.
If you don't know who Dodie is, I mean, what are you? Who are you?
I am a musician. I write music and make music. I talk about my feelings because I have a lot of them. I don't really know.
It's pretty much it, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's hard to summarize yourself.
It's hard. It's like a tall order, isn't it?
Like, it's like trying to write another bio. Like,
yeah,
I just can't do it.
Yeah. No, it's like we're complex, aren't we, guys?
We should probably explain how we know you, Dodie.
Yeah.
And how we've met.
Yeah.
I will admit, I don't remember how.
Either. I cannot remember a distinctive first time you've met. I mean, most people know I started off on YouTube as like a kind of fangirl. I watched a lot of people and then somehow befriended them. I basically lived the dream.
You did.
We met in
2012 when I was a bit of a pillock.
I didn't actually know you. I just knew you by extension of that you were friends with
Luke.
It was
my first gathering ever. What this was, it was a thing back in the day of like, if you're a fan of YouTubers or whatever, sometimes those YouTubers would organise like a little meet up in a park or something.
A little gathering. It was meant to be like a friendly little gathering.
A friendly little gathering, and it was just incredibly moist. And that's where we've... I mean, we didn't really even meet.
No,
there.
I didn't even know you then. I don't know. Oh, I met you at Reading, the Reading one afterwards.
That was another... Yeah, that was it.
I remember
yeah.
that, because I have a lot of footage.
So, Dodie, what do you think you're doing? What are you up to? Don't laugh. What are you up to?
Well, I have an EP coming out very soon.
Cool.
It's got a bunch of songs on it, and I've been recording them over the past year, and it's just very strange to have a project that you sit on for quite a while, and you kind of cook, and then you, like, release into the world.
That was a decent little, yeah. like, sort of...
Is it overcooked? Is it overcooked?
Is it deep fried?
I don't know.
Medium rare?
That's the thing I'm freaking out about. I have no idea if it's overcooked, and I'm just going to give it out to the world and see how they like the taste.
It's exciting. How they like the taste?
Sizzling on the Apple Music.
You're sick. Cool. Aside from the EP, what other stuff are you cracking on with?
Oh, gosh. Oh, I have a tour in September.
So wait, does that mean you have to cross the ocean to do your tour?
Yes, I do, Dean.
Nice. We brought it back. We did it.
Bring it back. Bring it away from that again.
But tell us about the tour.
Yeah, we're going back. Yeah. We're crossing the ocean back here. Tell us about the tour.
Touring the US, doing two LA dates, which I'm very excited about. And then, yeah, I don't know. Have to rehearse for that, plan my set list. I don't know. It's weird trying to be like a hypey pop, like not pop performer, but like, you know, go on stage, like there's, I don't know, everyone watching you and you're trying to be like all dynamic and cool, but I've never been the kind of person to like dance, I don't know, or like jam out or like make it like really big or anything like that, but it's like part of my job. It's very strange.
Yeah, I mean, I struggle to dance in front of people I know.
Yeah,
so, like... I'm too comfortable dancing like an idiot. Yeah, I
know you've danced me very well. Yeah, <Bertie. laughs>
the thing is, you're good at it.
Oh,
like,
thank you. Yeah, that's yeah. very kind of you. Yeah.
Me, I don't know what's going on. Yeah, for me, dancing's like, you know, if you scrumple up a bit of paper and then watch it unfold. It never comes back to the paper. It never was.
You'll
look at it and go, "He wasn't who he was originally."
Yeah. Like, he is forever changed.
I feel very exposed
after this experience.
Oh wow! Yeah.
So,
well, that sounds very cool.
Do you get used to performing in front of so many people, or what?
I think getting used to it. Yeah, I think I get kind of like acclimatized to it, but that doesn't mean I, you know, get bored of it. I love it. I love it so much. I think there's a lot of stuff that goes around touring, like the traveling, the washing your pits with face wipes in like this tiny cramped bus that smells of piss.
Wait, what are you washing talking. With face wipes?
Pits, armpits.
Okay,
my armpits.
I
keep pissing out my arms.
Is that a tour thing? Is that a musician
yeah.
thing?
It only happens at tour.
The theme isn't oceans, is it? It's moisture. It's
liquid. It's
yeah.
wet.
Like, yeah, wet. The feelings of wet. There's a hot room.
Juiciness.
Sweating. This episode's
delicious.
Theme is juicy.
Anyway, yes, tour can be... It can be bad to the point where you're pissing out your armpits, but every single night, like when you play, it's just, it makes up for it. It really is so cool. It's just so cool.
Is it sweaty on stage? I'm just trying to keep the moisture theme on.
There have been times where it's been like the aircon hasn't worked, and like suddenly you're like, I don't know, staring at like 800 people who are all just fanning themselves. It's really weird.
There's
just, like,
really
so
focusing.
Much movement. Yeah. And also, people tend to like faint when I play. I don't really know why. I guess because it's like quite a lot of young people, and also it tends to be kind of hot and everyone's very excited. And when it was really hot, it was just like boom, 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 down, down, down.
Is it really? They were just like dropping off like flies.
It's terrible.
Just drowning. That's what they were doing.
Drowning, but everyone was very respectful. We carried them out.
Just like in little bags.
There was this one actually where this girl like fell down at the front, and then I kind of like stopped the song because it was kind of like, oh no, she was right at the front, so she was very crowded. And then everyone lifted her over, and she was like, "Hi!" Just like waving.
She's just normal.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Funny.
She didn't faint. And, I know her game.
Who are you on tour with, Dodie?
Oh, I can say it. Oh, I'm on tour with Tessa Violet.
Ooh.
Do you know who Tessa Violet is?
I don't
is?
Have a clue. Who's Tessa Violet?
Well, Tessa Violet is an incredible songwriter and pop artist. She's super cool. She's got a song out called Crush. I'm plugging her song now.
Yeah, no, do
she's
it.
Just
yeah.
so good. I don't know. She's just such a good writer. It's very 90s. but very cool.
Sounds like you're going to have a bloody nice time.
I know, I think you are. I've talked with her before, and she's just a great person to be around. She's basically like a friend slash therapist.
Oh.
And as we all know, I love feelings. And you know what, Dean? We might just wash our pits with baby wipes.
What, you and Tessa? Yeah. Together as a group? What, as a group activity?
It goes faster if you have someone helping
you. Tour's wild. You don't know what will happen.
Are we that close? Are you and me close enough to wipe each other's armpits?
I don't know.
For fun?
Can I just clarify, this isn't a thing that happens?
You did not. Well,
you just wanted to clarify that that's a thing that happens.
Oh, so you're lying.
No, it's not.
Oh, right. So you're lying.
Oh, lies, is it? Oh, it's lies now.
And it's Bertie. That's one of our big rules. We said when you come in, don't lie.
Yeah.
And what you've just.
I mean.
We didn't want any deceitful guests.
Get in the sea.
Shall I leave? In the sea.
Get out of the sea. No, we're in the sea now. Get out of the sea. Get on land. Splosh, we're sploshing back in.
Splosh.
Guys, Dean, you have some ocean facts.
I do have some ocean facts. And I'm curious to see what your initial reaction is, because like with anything we fear, there's also wonder inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so did you know that we've only discovered 5% of the ocean?
Oh my God!
So does that scare you, or does it make you go, wow, what's out there? What's the... She sounds scared. She's crying. This has gone really bad.
Yeah.
I don't know. You should have put me on the space one because, okay, here's the thing. Everyone always goes I think we should explore our own planet before we reach out to space and explore anything else. I'm pretty much done with the Earth, you know? I just think space exploration fascinates me so much more than the ocean. I don't care. It's already there. We live on it. We can touch it.
But, have you not seen the glowy, the creatures down there?
Yeah, but...
They're glowy,
They're going to be, tiny little...
They're aliens.
No, they're not! They're aliens. They live on Earth!
They live... Yeah, but, if you look at them, what's the one...
Well, I say the thing with the ocean is that all the, framework for life as we know it up here goes out of the window once you're in the ocean.
Yeah.
Because
there's no rules, baby. It's the Wild West.
Yeah, it sounds silly, but you look at a lion and you look at a tiger and you go, they're almost the same thing. Mm. Do you know what I mean? You look at a monkey, we have bones, we all have the same things, we share common things.
Mm-hmm.
But then as soon as the ocean goes in, some of them don't have spines.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Of them are just essentially octopuses are just balloons that happen to be alive.
Oh.
Yeah. And they have tentacles and suction pads on them. They've got beaks.
Wow.
It's
someone
went on character creation and just went, what have I got left?
All the mammals are fucking nerds, and then beneath the ocean, but all the experimental hipsters just changing the rules constantly.
Yeah. So the ocean is Shoreditch.
The ocean is Shoreditch.
To be honest, if I saw a guy in Shoreditch walking around with a beak
with no spine. I wouldn't even look at him.
He's like,
excuse me. Top three films set in the sea. Let's have a little think. Dean, I think you've got your answers. Dodie, you think about yours. I'm still trying to think of mine.
I've got one, yeah. Okay. It's a French animated movie.
Ooh.
Called Help, I'm a Fish.
Ooh.
Okay, I'm glad you went for something niche because I forgot Finding Nemo.
Oh, that's fair.
Finding Nemo's sick. Hey, hey.
Okay, but, well, yeah.
Hey, nothing to be... Well, Shark Tale's on there, right?
Well, Help...
It is, yeah. Come on.
Help, I'm a Fish came out sort of around the same time as Finding Nemo. So, you know, when Ants came out and everyone was like, that's just a rip-off of Bugs Life. That was the same thing with Help, I'm a Fish.
Whoa.
But it couldn't have less to do with Finding Nemo. It was about three kids drank a potion that turns them into fish. And then what happens is when fish drink the potion...
Oh my God, I've seen this. You show me this.
Yeah, because Alan Rickman's in it. He plays the bad guy.
Yeah.
So when humans drink the potion, they become fish. But if fish drink the potion, they become smarter. So when the kids drop the potion in the ocean,
put that in a song, don't you?
When they go down, all of a sudden things don't make sense to them because they don't know what's happening properly. Like they're using whales as buses and stuff like that.
Oh.
And then the Alan Rickman fish is basically acting like a god. Yeah.
Interesting. Oh, I remember this. Yeah.
And then I'm so sorry. I'm making it all about
this
me.
This actually does sound very interesting.
It's
sounds a
cool
like
film.
A very you sort of movie.
Yeah.
But then how they get rid of Alan Rickman fish is so messed up.
Mm.
So they trick him into
slit his throat.
They might as well. So basically, he's chasing the kids up a pipe. He's like trying to get the rest of the potion so he can turn into a human, basically, and come and take over the world. It's crazy, but he's like. As he's drinking the potion, he's overdoing it, and he's like mutating. He's like got tumors growing on his face and stuff.
Is this animated?
This is animated.
I wish it was live action.
Is it like drawn or like?
It's frame by frame.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And like he's downing the potion, and like the fish keeps the lead character, who's still a fish at this point, keeps asking him questions, like smart questions, and like he drinks more to like get the answer. But as he doesn't realize, he's still underwater, and he says to him, "But the final question," he goes, "Can a human breathe on?" Underwater,
oh, God.
And he goes, "Of course not," and drowns and floats away.
Wait, what the fuck? That's so cool! What a twist! Oh my God, if I watched that as a kid, I'm kind of bummed that you spoiled
it. I'm so sorry.
If I watched that, I'd be like, "Oh my God, he's gonna die!"
Well, in execution, it's so dark.
Damn!
But yeah,
do his eyes like you know? You
I
can
won't
see,
spoil
like,
it.
Shock
I
them.
Won't spoil it, but
oh
it's gruesome. It's pretty
oh my God,
gruesome.
I love it.
That's mad. I like Finding Nemo as well.
I do love Finding Nemo.
I like Finding Nemo. I thought it was proper mint, that one. I remember with Finding Nemo, the thing I associate with it weirdly more than the film was when I went to the cinema when I was a kid and I saw the advert for Finding Nemo. And you know the thing they have in adverts where it says coming only to theatres or something like that? And obviously that means it's going to be in cinemas. That's the only place you can see it. Then it will be on DVD. Mm. I thought it meant it's going to be in cinemas and then it will be gone, right? And I cried at the thought that I have to, like, get all my Finding Nemo viewings out of the way or it's going to be gone forever. They're going to get rid of it.
Wait, this was just the trailer. How did you know it was going to be that good?
I just thought it looked good. I cried.
You're just crying at the concept
I was
of
crying
art
at, like,
not being alive.
At the existential, like, I can see this film a few times at the cinema. And then it will be gone, and then I'll just have the memory of it.
Oh my God.
I don't know if that's going to be the same. I'm fine, because I've got it on DVD, Dundee.
I've got it on Blu-ray.
I can watch
DVD
it as many times as I want.
Oh,
yeah.
Very pleased.
Yeah.
Shape of Water?
That counts. Good shout.
I mean, it's a river. It's a river, and it's not really the ocean, is it?
There's a tank.
He's a fish.
He's a fish man.
Yeah, no, he's a fish man. That is a good film. I like that film.
Funny enough, I do like the element of water in movies and in films. It just makes you feel makes everything very juicy.
Are you trying to say it? Wait, why don't you just say you think the fish man is a bit juicy? Like, why don't you just say that?
That's not what I mean.
Wait, what do you mean? What? Water in general in films makes you feel a bit juicy?
Like, the theme of, like, water in the ocean. Like, for example, Finding Nemo. It's such a, like, colourful, delicious...
Juicy
film. No, I see what you're saying, because, like, the coral reef looks like... They look like sweets.
It looks delicious, yeah.
I'd eat the shit out of an anemone. I'm doing the bit that Nemo...
That's a literal gag in Finding Nemo.
An anemone.
Enamel.
Yeah. They live in a tooth. Brush yourself against this tooth.
I was not expecting that.
And it's all like bluey, greeny themed and like, I don't know, I think the aesthetics and the sound is very nice.
I think they've nailed like underwater stuff in animation. Mm. I think they can't do it. Like just things like floating.
Yeah.
They just can't really do it better, can they? They still need to work on hair.
Oh, yeah.
Hair's not quite there.
And human faces.
And human faces, but fish. Sorted, mate.
Got it bang on.
Dodie, do you have any, I don't know, like funny, weird, scary, interesting things that have happened involving the water or the sea or the ocean in your life?
Oh, my God. When I was at a birthday party... I wasn't a very popular kid. I don't really know why I was invited. I think maybe the parents felt guilty. Oh. And then they all, like, played their own special game. But because I kind of liked being alone and, like, being the sad one anyway, I just kind of, like, went off to the side and then I cried underwater and I was like, this is perfect because no one can see my tears.
That's one of the funniest stories we've had on the show so far. That's great.
This is perfect.
This will be great for the show. I cried. That's so sad.
It wasn't sad. I was a little shit.
No, wait, you're not going to say you deserved it.
No, I kind of secretly liked it because I was like playing. You know when you're a kid and you're like, I'm in my own movie and like, you know.
What movie were you in? What movie? Tell us.
just trying not to fucking cry. I don't know. Like,
crying. I'm so... I can just picture... Are you like... Paint a picture for me, Dirk. Are you like... Because, you again, you're crying, but you sound weirdly satisfied with the whole situation.
Okay.
Are you smiling?
All right. You know when you're like... a kid and you're like looking out the window and like a sad song plays and you pretend you're in a music video?
Sure.
Sure?
Yeah, no, I
okay,
yeah.
Cool. And then you manage to like squeeze out a little tear and you're like... Okay. Looking into this fake camera, no.
Squeeze that little tear.
You know,
I was a bus ride home, Bertie. I squeezed that little tear. Got a bit emotional.
Listen, me at 7 years old lived for this damn shit. I loved it. I was
you
like,
still live for it.
Exactly. Sometimes when I'm walking down the road, you know, I'll be in, like, the sun will be setting and I'll think of something sad and, like, look off into the distance and, like, be crying perfectly. I don't know. It just helps me.
Well, you're quite a crier, aren't you?
Yeah, I cry, like, 3 times a day.
Have you cried today?
No, not today.
Oh,
actually, wait.
Oh, what? Should we? I mean, she hasn't cried today.
Okay,
cry.
Here we go. What do we do?
Let's talk about my past family trauma. I'm just kidding.
Good grief.
Well, I'm really lining up this podcast.
No, I love it.
No, it's great.
It's funny.
That crying story is one of the best.
Are you a big cry? I'm quite a big
crier.
I like, if I get especially emotional, like screaming and crying into pillows and stuff is nice. It's a similar thing, actually, with the underwater thing.
Water? Is that what we're talking about? Water? Sorry.
No, because it's like, no one can hear me in this pillow. I can just, like, release myself and be a mess.
Right.
Yeah, what about you, Dean? How do you project your emotions into objects or fluids?
No, I'm trying to think of some swimming pool stories because I was a little shit.
Oh, I've got one.
Okay, well, I was a little shit when we went on holidays and stuff. I'd love dunking my brother in the water and stuff like that. Oh. I'd like appear from, I'd like dive because I was a much better swimmer than him. So I basically just come up from behind him and go, boom, straight down.
No.
I wouldn't like smash his head against the floor or anything. It just like popped his head in. I just give him a little dip.
Fucking get down. I've got a swimming story.
Well,
did you shit in the sea?
Not in the sea.
In the pool.
You didn't shit in a pool.
No, guys. You didn't.
Okay, listen.
Okay, well,
God.
All right.
Do you want to wrap yours up?
Well, no, I was just going to say, if you're going to make yourself vulnerable, I am as well. I have shat in the swimming pool.
Oh my God.
No, I did. So I was, I was just a bit of a pooey boy. I don't know what else to say.
People say that about you now.
Was. Yeah, I don't know. I just needed to go, and it was like a small little like Malteser.
No, what do you think? No one would know.
To this day, no one knows it's me. But they evacuated, like they got everyone out of the pool, but they don't know it was me to this day. And it stays in this room, and it's anyone who's listening, you don't fucking tell a soul.
Speaking of pooing in pools and stuff, mm-hmm. I'm going to sound really, really smart, but that was one of our plot lines for Jack and Dean of All Trades, which was
Shark in the pool.
Yeah, it was code for when you did a little poo in the pool. That was in season 2.
Where can you watch this, Dean?
You can't watch it anywhere right now.
Well,
it's stuck in the ether. Actually, you can see the Shark in the Pool episode on the Jack and Dean YouTube channel. It won't save the show. It's not coming back for a first season, but I'd appreciate it either way.
Well, thank you so much, Dodie, for joining us. Thank you for joining us in the sea. It's been a very enlightening, juicy time.
It's time to get out. My fingers are all wrinkly.
You're getting a bit pruney.
Yeah, a little bit pruney. My toes have been nibbled at. I think they might turn into baby feet.
That's
ooh,
a
little
callback.
Throwback.
Fantastic little callback.
So I could have done that way better.
Yeah. No,
I liked it.
I was actually
perfection.
Distracted. There's a magpie outside. I mean, on the
there's
ocean.
A fish.
On the, yeah,
come
fish.
On, Dodie.
Shit. Sorry.
All right, get out of the sea.
All right, goodbye.
See you in a bit. Bye, Dodie.
Goodbye.
Good luck on your tour and your EP and everything.
See you later.
Bye.
Who's that?
I have no idea. So that was Dodie, everybody. But it turns out she's left some tat in the studio. So let's what is it? It's a little paper bag. It's got like a sort of
suspicious
circle sticker. I'm gonna try and open it.
You're
in a way
opening
that,
it.
Well, because she doesn't live that far away from me, so what I'll do, I'll go drop it off.
Crack
I
it
don't
open.
I don't want her to know that we've actually opened it. What if it's gold?
It might be gold.
Yeah.
Diamonds?
What have we got? Oh, there's a box inside of it. Oh my god. Okay, here we go.
That's too small to be a pizza, surely.
Yeah, it's too small to be a pizza. Oh, thank god the sticker's come loose so we can get into this one. Crime free. It's oh, what the fuck is that?
What is it? Let me see.
It's covered in pesto, whatever it is. What is it?
That looks like chopped up bits of banana with pesto on it.
It looks like little ears, like little tabs.
What is she eating?
Oh, is it gnocchi? Sorry, okay.
We're not very cultured food eaters.
Producer Paddy just told us that it's gnocchi.
Okay.
So we're clearly not cultured.
No.
I know you tried to save us, but we're not gonna. I just eat beans. That's all I eat, beans. Cold baked beans. I'll drop it round to her later. Yeah, here's some cold gnocchi.
Lucky you. Thank you to Acast and Shotglass Media for production support. If you enjoyed this podcast, please do like and subscribe. We put out a new podcast every Monday, and also please do leave us a review and tell us what you think.
If you'd like to get in touch about any discussion topics, tweet us at Dean Dobbs or Bertie Gilbert. Just type in the names, you'll find us. We got display pictures with our beautiful face on it.
We love movies, we love games, all sorts, dread, horrible things, and also nice things. Just let us know. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.